here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Hey, what's up, entrepreneurs? I hope you guys are having an amazing day and you're excited for this episode of Raw and Real Entrepreneurship. And here's why. We're going to get raw and real really fast, and we're going to talk about what to do, what not to do when it comes to presenting your business. And I've already been making a new best friend before we went into recording mode. And check it out. This woman is a freaking rock star. She's changing the way the enterprise world thinks about its undervalued asset, the presentation. I can tell you from years and years and years of presenting on stages and sales presentations that the presentation is ultimately what does the selling for you. And we're going to find out more. She's the president and co-founder of Shuffler, and she's blazing a trail in the new discipline of presentation management. Thank the Lord. Someone needs to do it. And the technology she's created is already powering the presentation strategies of companies like, check this out, Starbucks, Royal Caribbean, and freaking NASA, and helping them save millions by transforming the humble PowerPoint. So Alexandra Entra, girlfriend, welcome to Raw and Real Entrepreneurship. I'm so excited to have you here.
Woohoo! I'm psyched to be here. Let's get to it.
Let me ask you, one of the questions I love asking people, they look at entrepreneurs like yourself who've got Starbucks and NASA as clients. And let's go back in the time machine just a little bit. What was your very first business?
You know, the very first business that I co-founded, that I started, was called Entrepresentations. And it was a precursor to this. We did presentation design, writing, and developed a very proprietary high-end technology that was installed on company servers. Actually, these presentations here were from Entrepresentations, where we did soup to nuts, the whole 9 yards, 10 yards, go the extra distance.
Yeah. And when did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
You know, no one's ever asked me that. For me, the opportunity presented itself. It was right after 9/11. So 20 years ago, we were working with, I was a general manager for a company called Iguana Interactive, and they did interactive presentations that at that time were installed on a CD-ROM. Nobody has CDs anymore. And our investors, after 9/11, after the market crashed, the investors pulled out. And I had a value-added reseller's license. And my brother slash partner at the time also had a license to use the software. So we just started cold calling clients. Our desk was a ping pong table. And we got on the phone and we just started calling and, you know, asking marketing directors of business to business sales companies, mostly media companies, because that was our sweet spot at the time, you know, if they needed help with their presentations and that we could do it better. And we got ABC National Television Sales as our first client. And from there, we just kept going and kept going and kept building it.
That's incredible, because so often as entrepreneurs, when we're pitching a concept as opposed to something real, right?
Right.
And even with Radius, when we're first pitching, we're pitching a concept before we had developed a product. Let me ask you this. What do you say to the person who's like, oh, I'm so nervous, Alex, to go pitch a concept when I don't have a proof of concept yet, or I don't have an actual product. All I have is an idea and a napkin. Or a ping pong table.
Well, one, you have to believe that your concept is really going to help them. And from that point of view, stop thinking about your own nervousness, because we all get nervous, and think about the person that you're pitching to. What do they want? What do they need? What are their problems? Make it about them. And by doing that, one, you're thinking about and speaking about your product in a way that's going to appeal to them. Ultimately, the best way to sell is to appeal to your customer. And you're also taking the onus off yourself. The pitch is not about you. In sales, when you pitch, it's not about you. It's about your audience. It's about your customer. It's about your product. So if you focus on that, then you forget that you're nervous. You just take your energy off yourself and put it where it belongs.
That is
get out of your own way.
Was there anything when you're first starting the company that the potential clients told you that surprised you and kind of shifted your course off of where you thought you were going to be going?
Well, actually, going back to it was ABC National Television Sales, and about 2 years into it, they had been our very loyal client. We had great relationships with everybody, but this is, you know, the early 2000s when YouTube started and PowerPoint was getting better at animations and other things. A sales guy walks into a conference room, slams a CD, DVD on the conference table, and he goes, "My grandmother made a better presentation for our family reunion than our sales pitch." And I just, my heart sank, my jaw dropped, and I was like, oh man, I'm so screwed. And at that point, we changed course and we redesigned the product. We launched the next iteration of it under a different brand name. We called it PPT Share. It embraced PowerPoint. It embraced video. It wasn't so proprietary, and it was a lot less expensive. So that made us course correct right then.
And would you say, like, you know, as women especially, we have to have a thick skin.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, you're in SaaS, I'm in AI as a service, and I'm sure it happened. You, I might be in a boardroom and it's mostly men, and sometimes men are going to speak to women the same way they speak to other guys, which is, you know, just like direct, in your face, don't take me personally because I'm not taking me personally. Mm-hmm. But what would you say is one of the biggest things you've had to learn personally as an entrepreneur when it comes to resilience?
Ignore, be Teflon, just let stuff fall off you, because people will say stupid things. People will say obnoxious things. And especially investors, they're going to challenge you, whether you're a man or a woman, they're going to shoot questions at you, 1, 2, 3, and you better be able to answer it. And again, get out of yourself and focus on your product, focus on your task, and do the job. If you remove yourself, or I should say, if you remove your ego from the whole process, then you'll be able to, you know, do what you set out to do and produce. Because at the end, everybody remembers the production. Everybody remembers the end point. They don't necessarily remember how it took you to get there. So always focus on that. And then eventually that will come back and say, oh yeah, Alex did a great job on that. I'm like, okay, sure. It's not about you. It's about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's about what that customer is buying, a result, right?
Right.
And I love what you said about the ego. And the Wayne Dyer was a friend of mine, and Wayne always used to say ego stands for edging God out. And I think as a woman in technology and a co-founder and all of the things, I've definitely been humbled more times than not, and had what I call WKMs, Alex wall kicking moments. And I'm like, you know, I remember I go in and I do this pitch, right? And we're pitching for funding. And afterwards, this guy takes me aside and he's like, "Susan, you have a big ego. And I often find that women founders have to overcompensate." And I was like, initially I was like, overcompensate for what? My shoe size? Like, no.
Right. Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. And that's why I call this Rod Real Entrepreneurship. I'm just telling you. And I, you know, I sat with it, Alex, and I was like, okay, well, what is the lesson? And I love what Jay Shetty talks about. Everyone is our teacher. So if this person is teaching me something, it doesn't make him right. It doesn't make his approach right. But if I were to learn something from that, what would it be? And did I come off as arrogant, you know, in that whole piece, right? And it's tough sometimes. So how do you...
If you were a man, would they say you were arrogant, or would they just say you were confident?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't want to go there because that's a wormhole.
We can go there. We have a lot of men who listen. You know, I have employees who listen. I told you my dad listens to every show. Hey, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
His name's Joe. It's a quiz sometimes. Hey, yeah, he's awesome. So he's a retired engineer. He's cool. It is a question I ask. So let me ask you this. How do you handle stress? Because we all handle it in a unique way. And you and I were talking before the show, being an entrepreneur is no joke. It is a lot of work. So how do you handle stress?
Personally, I exercise. I do ballet, which is my passion.
Cool.
So it's something that you have to use your body for, but you really need to use your mind. So when I'm in a ballet class, I have to completely focus. And I'll do spin classes and yoga. And I recently, you know, since I'm in Florida now, I took up golf. That's another sport where you're just like totally focused on what you're doing. So I kind of like it. But I blow off steam. It's for me, I exercise, some sort of exercise, some sort of passion. You have to have something else in your life besides what you do. Otherwise that business will own you. And it will swallow you whole. So you have to have something that you're passionate about that distracts you, that you enjoy doing and you look forward to.
And something I love what you said. I've been thinking about taking up golf. I think that the biggest thing is something healthy, because there are a lot of, as entrepreneurs, I'm sure you've been on the airplane as I have, 6 a.m. I might be flying to Silicon Valley, and there are a bunch of people drinking, you know, vodka tonics at like 6 a.m. and something like exercise, prayer, meditation. Last night, I was like working. And my husband comes in the door and I'm like, babe, I just need to get on the Peloton. Right. And that was my second workout that day. But I, you know, and even after this show, I'm going to go to yoga, because how can you be good to anyone else if you can't be good to yourself?
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So switching gears, I want to talk about business owners and presentations, because I've seen a lot of really bad presentations. So let's just pretend for a moment we're doing a top list of the biggest mistakes people make. What are some of the biggest mistakes people make with presentations?
Too much crap on the slide. They just put everything and the kitchen sink on the slide. Less is more. Limit, if it's a text slide, limit it to 3 bullets tops. If you can even make it one big statement, do that. The other thing is, people use PowerPoint and they use their presentations as a crutch. So they end up reading the slides. They follow the slides. They live by the slides. And then their slides have all this information on it. So the presentation is just like, oh my God, you're in the audience. You just want to poke your eye out with a pencil. The other thing is, when you're putting your slides together, keep it simple. But again, remember your audience. So like, for example, I work for a technology company. I do software, and you do AI. So the products that you're selling are very technical. And they're very complicated. And it's really easy to get into those details. You know, we have this, you know, this is encrypted and we do this. Like, for example, Shuffler has visual elastic search, which will index all of your files so that your search terms or keyword hit highlighted in the results. Therefore, you can see them. What the hell does that mean? The end of the day, you look at your slides, look at your presentation, and then ask yourself, so what? Like, why is this important? To your audience, to your customer. Why? So it's not that we have Elasticsearch with visual hit highlights. It's, you can see the words on your slides and you get to see all your slides at once. So if you have 1,000 slides in your library, you can zoom in and find that one you're looking for. We've just made your life easier. That matters. So when you're doing your presentation, always think about your audience. Simplify the information on the slide. Less is more. And finally, and above all, make sure you tell a story. PowerPoint is very linear, and it's also in an outline format. So we've forgotten. So we just put notes on us. I mean, all it is notes on a page, and we've forgotten how to do transitions and how to write a story, which we used to do. I mean, back when you and I were in school, we wrote essays. Nobody writes essays anymore. We do 140 characters on Twitter. But those transitions make it a story. And the story that answers so what is what's going to sell your product. That's where you're going to grab your client, your customer.
Mm, those are good.
So I can summarize it. Tell a story, keep your slides simple, and ask yourself over and over again as you review your presentation, so what? Why is this important to my customer? Those are the three things that you can do.
Girl, that's good because it sounds like common sense, but believe me, I think I've been almost PowerPointed to death on so many occasions. And even from pitches, right? In the startup world, I consult a lot of startups and they don't have a clue how to make a pitch deck. And you know, as you said, like don't put 50 bullet points on a slide. That's ridiculous. So tell everyone about Scheffler. Like, what is the service you offer? I know your website is sick. I love it. I already told Alex, I'm like, we're doing this with Radius as soon as we're done this interview, but tell us about it.
Well, Scheffler makes presentations easier and better for everybody in the company. So if you're the marketing director, if you're in the corporate headquarters, you can ensure that everybody is presenting branded, compliant, accurate, up-to-date slides. If you are out in the field, you can easily customize a presentation that is branded and compliant and accurate for your customer. So it's a win-win for both sides.
That's awesome. And what about someone who doesn't have a clue about design or where they should start? Or, you know, what about that person who's like, I know I need to present, but I don't know where to begin?
Well, there's two ways to go about it. With Scheffler, we encourage our clients to build their corporate story. And part of their corporate story is that all these slides are already branded. So if you're a salesperson out in the field, you don't have to be a designer. That's done for you, which ultimately is in the benefit of the company because everybody's using branded, good-looking content. And it also makes their life easier. If you are just out on your own, like, oh no, I got to do this presentation, PowerPoint now actually gives suggestions to make your slide prettier. And we also, I mean, we have a lot of consultants and presentation designers. There's so much help to make beautiful presentations. If you don't want to do it yourself, there's a whole economy out there, a whole environment of designers who just focus on presentations.
And believe me, as an entrepreneur, we all know, especially when you're getting started, you are the marketing director, right? And you're the CFO.
And you're the graphic designer.
Yeah, you're the salesperson, you're HR.
You're the janitor. Gosh. Don't forget, you're also the janitor. How can you tell who the owner of the company is?
The janitor.
They're throwing out the garbage.
We did a show and get a whole bunch of different friends who are CEOs and talk about being emotional janitors. I'm going to write that down. That could be what's my eighth book title? I'm not your emotional janitor.
Janitor, right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So final question for sure. You know, one of the big questions that when someone's starting a business, and recently we did an extensive poll of our audience and they're in 125 countries. I don't know, the team tells me where everyone is, but 50% of the people are thinking of starting a business. And one of the things I always say, Alex, is if, you know, you're thinking about starting a business, you've got to get that foundation down right. And that foundation actually starts with you. So walk everyone through your day, right? You're running this company, you have employees, you're, you know, like one of those rare women heading a SaaS company. What does your day look like?
Well, I'm going to go from the first 10 years to the last 10 years. And when I first started, I don't want to say 20 years ago, but yeah, it was that many years ago. I felt like every day was a blank slate. And I just felt like, because like you said, you know, I was the marketing director, I was the salesperson, I was the janitor, I was the accountant. And because we were selling services, it was more consulting. Once you finished a project, you had to get a new project. So every day for like 10 years, it felt like a blank slate, and I was starting over. Now that we have a SaaS with recurring revenue, we have a We have set clients. We've gotten bigger. We have a tech team. I have a sales team. I have a marketing person. I feel like, well, I got a real company here. This is great. And now I love getting out of bed because I was like, oh, I'm just going to pick up and continue what I did yesterday and just keep moving forward. I don't have that. Oh, what am I going to do today? But for anybody who's starting, I would say it's a lot harder than it looks. You will not have cash in your pocket for a very long time. So get used to that and just keep going. If you really want it, and this is just keep going. A lot of people are going to say, don't do it. It's too hard. They'll tell you to quit. Just keep at it. Just keep, you are pushing a snowball up a hill. So every step you take, you make progress, but that ball's getting bigger and it's getting heavier. And eventually you will get to the peak.
I love
it. It's a great view from the top.
It is. Yeah. Right? I love that you did, Alex, the comparison. No one in the hundreds of interviews I've done, no one's actually done that. And it's so relevant to people because they look at the end, to the point like, oh, there's the entrepreneur and she's driving the Lamborghini. And she's like, no, because we had no money. We're like, walking around doing all of these different jobs. And I was telling Alex just before we got on the show. So we're in the process of hiring 60 people. And I didn't tell you this story. So we, one of the people we hired, she came to us from, a massive, massive, like not even multi-billion. Multi-billion is what they do like weekly, company to come work in a startup. And today was her first day at work. And I hugged her, our new head of product. And right. I hugged her because it was like, oh, I have someone else to, help kids. I have someone else to help, guide our products and do all these things. And it was just this breathing space. So I love that you said that, Alex. Thank you. That's awesome. Well, if you want to find out more, go to shuffler.com and find out more. And Alex, thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
There.
Thank you for having me.
One of my new favorite people. And we're it's more of a threat, not a, promise. But one of the things Alex and I were talking about, I have a bunch of friends who are all founders. We're talking about just getting together on Zoom. And if you would like to attend something like that, where founders get raw and real, maybe we have cocktails, let me know, because I'd love to do like a big free forum where we just have raw and real dialogue all about all the wall kicking moments. Anyway, thanks for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Stay the course. Go rock your day. And if this has been a great episode, you better give us a 5-star review. We're ladies who ask for what we want. And with that, I will see you in a future episode of Raw and Real Entrepreneurship.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.